This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This is part one of a two-part program.
Welcome to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. My show is committed to bringing you fresh perspectives, new information, and useful tools that will allow you to create more love, intimacy, and fun in your life. Today on the show, we're talking about men, how to understand them better, what brings out the best and worst in men, and how some of us just might be frog farmers. A unique perspective on how we might be turning men from princes into frogs.
She asked him, you know, why is it that men are really great and then they change? And his response was to call her a frog farmer. When he said, some women turn frogs into princes, and you, my dear, turn princes into frogs, that struck me to the heart. I had a vision of rows and rows of frogs with little human heads. And it was my farm, and I was a very successful frog farmer, except I had no idea how I did it.
All this today from our guest, Allison Armstrong. Allison, it's so great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. This is wonderful.
Great. Allison is CEO, president, and co-founder of PAX Programs, whose mission is altering society's culture by transforming the way women relate to men, which I think is fantastic, by the way. She is the creator of a variety of workshops, including Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women, and Making Sense of Men. She is also the author of a novel called Keys to the Kingdom. I'm really excited to have Allison with us today. She has so much valuable information for us. We're actually doing a two-part series, and this is part one. So, Allison, I know our listeners are really interested in what you have to tell us about understanding men in a deeper way. And they're really interested in learning how we as women can relate in more healthy ways with men and create more loving and honest relationships with them. So in this part one interview, we're going to cover understanding some of the major differences between men and women that seem obvious but really are often overlooked. And then we'll cover what are we doing that brings out the best and worst in men and how to avoid being this dreaded frog farmer, which I'm sure everyone is interested in hearing about. So, Allison, let's start with you, your background. How did you come to be the nationally known educator and expert on understanding the sexes?
Well, I started out as a woman who was always really attracted to the opposite sex. I started having boyfriends very young, like the second grade. And, you know, I always was really interested in boys. And as happens sometimes when you're really interested in boys, you end up getting your feelings hurt. You end up with some bad experiences, which I had. So by the time I was 20, I was completely the opposite. I was disillusioned. I had the T-shirt, a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle. And I wore it proudly. I was an ardent, honestly man-hating feminist.
Wow.
And yeah, I was. I really was. But I hadn't lost the dream, you know, of the family and the white picket fence and the children that looked like their dad. And so I went ahead and I got married when I was 23. And by the end of that marriage, which lasted 7 years before I asked my husband for divorce, I was convinced I just wasn't the type of woman that men really loved. You know, that I was just missing some key traits or attributes, you know, that really had men adore a woman and be passionate about her and give her gifts and want to take care of her. And I just thought I was born without it. And then I started a relationship with a man who did all those things. And that was like, wahoo, there's nothing wrong with me. I just married the wrong guy. My husband was a jerk. It wasn't me. And until my boyfriend changed and began acting just like my husband. My ex-husband, where, you know, he was no longer interested or passionate or attentive or all those things that I wanted and I loved. And so that was the point where I concluded that men are just con artists on their best behavior until they catch you. And I was determined I'd never be caught again, or if I was caught, I would never let him know I was caught. And I'd keep him on his best behavior forever. That was my new strategy. And I was all set with that new strategy on a Tuesday night in February of 1991 when a good friend of mine who had the exact same attitude asked a man. She asked him, you know, why is it that men are really great and then they change? And his response was to call her a frog farmer. And we were like, what? What's a frog farmer? And when he said, some women turn frogs into princes, and you, my dear, turn princes into frogs, that struck me to the heart. I had a vision of rows and rows of frogs with little human heads, and it was my farm. And I was a very successful frog farmer, except I had no idea how I did it. I had no idea how I accomplished it. And like I said, they really were jerks, you know, so I wasn't doing anything to bring it out in them. But when I found I was a frog farmer, I got really excited, because if it was true that I was turning princes into frogs, first of all, that meant there were princes. Princes existed. And that was very exciting to me. And if I had something to do with their behavior, then I could change it. I knew I could change me. You know, I'd been into transformation for a long time, over a decade at that point. And I knew I could change me. And so that idea was very exciting. If I could change my behavior, maybe men would be different with me. And it was that evening I decided I was going to study men, and I was going to find out what brought out the worst in them, what brought out the frog, and hoped if I paid really close attention, I might be able to find out some things that bring out the best in them and get princes around me.
Well, now you have to tell us, because I'm sure we're all cringing, to find out what are these things that we're doing to bring out the worst in them, because I'm sure lots of women who are listening are frustrated in that similar position, angry, disillusioned, feeling like there's something wrong with them. They don't have that gene of what it takes to have a relationship work. So what are some of the things that we're doing that bring out the worst in men?
Okay, I'll tell you what we're doing, and I've got to tell you where it starts first. Is that okay, Lisa?
Oh, yes.
It starts with, we think men are a version of woman.
Okay.
Okay, and you've heard me say this before. When women look at men, they see a hairy woman. We really do. We look at a man, we see a hairy woman who knows the right thing to do, because all women know the right thing to do, and he's purposely not doing it.
Uh-huh.
That's what we think. We think men know what we need, know what we want, and they're holding out on us.
Yes.
And so we interact with them the way you would interact with a woman. And that is where frog farming begins. A major way that we frog farm is we criticize men. We criticize them. We'll say, well, why don't you do this? Or don't you know how to do that right? Or here, let me do this. You're doing it wrong. And we criticize men. We especially do the why don't you? Or we'll say, you don't bring me flowers anymore. Or you don't open my door anymore. Or you don't make love to me enough. You know, we'll complain. You know, and this is a criticism of them. And we do it because, and this is where it gets really tricky, we criticize men because that's how you change women.
That's how you change women. So women respond to criticism, whereas men do not.
They do not. Well, they actually respond. How they respond is they keep their distance.
Right.
That's their response to criticism. They don't change their behavior. Like, you could say to a woman, you don't bring me flowers anymore. And she would bring you flowers. The next time she saw you, she would bring you flowers. Now, she might resent it because she doesn't feel like bringing you flowers, but she'll do it. Because women are what we call externally motivated. We're very much affected by by the people around us and by our environment around us. And it's not because we have low self-esteem, by the way. It's actually because of the way that our brains work. So because we respond to criticism by changing, we think men will. So we criticize them, expecting them to change, and they don't change. They don't change for the better. They just change in terms of keeping their distance and wanting to give less because we're no longer safe and we're no longer inspiring to them, which is what women need to do for men. Women need to be compelling or inspiring, and complaining and criticizing are neither of those. They're neither compelling nor inspiring.
Okay, I can clearly see where women are very verbal about their criticism of men. So that's the first strike. So that causes men to then back off. So yes. Okay, she's critical. This doesn't feel good. He shuts down a little bit. And then the woman starts with her silent criticism, I would think.
Well, or the eye rolling, or the, you know, those kind of sounds. Yeah, those are ways that we criticize. We also, another way we do it is nothing's good enough. You know, they'll try to do something for us and get very little reaction. We just won't be impressed. And this is a system-wide problem. This is a cultural, society-wide problem. Because women, in general, are only impressed when a man can do something for them that they can't do for themselves. Yeah, and we have become more successful, more self-sufficient, more affluent, more capable, and we're not impressed anymore by very, very, very many things. Like, I can take myself to this restaurant. I can buy myself these flowers. I can take myself on this kind of vacation. So we're not impressed. And if a man can't impress you, it doesn't have him work harder. It has him stop. See, what we want, if you think about it, Lisa, we want men to expend more energy, right? We want them to give us more fire.
Yes, and we want them to think it up all on their own.
Well, yeah, there is that problem, but which is a whole other thing, which has to do with the differences in the way men and women think. Men don't record what women record, so they don't know the things that, for us, knowing is a piece of cake. But we really, you know, what we want is men to keep putting out that effort. We want them to be attentive. We want them to pursue us. We want them to be great with us and creative and romantic with us. But between criticizing them, you know, which has them expend less effort, and then the effort they do expend doesn't get a rise out of us, doesn't get a reaction, doesn't get a wow out of us, that also has them go, well, I guess I'm not going to be able to make her happy. I'll just go find someone I can.
And so they're disconnected, out of the relationship, or if they're in a relationship, maybe having an affair.
Yep, that is one of the things that can happen.
It's sad, isn't it? And you're saying we have all the power in the world to stop that. But before we go into that, what else? We're criticizing men. Nothing's good enough. We think they're a version of ourselves.
Another thing we do is we mother men. Like, we know better than they do. You know, they're 5 years old. They're immature. They need to be trained. They're like puppies. We have to train them. We become very condescending and maternal. And we give them advice that they haven't requested. We, you know, we remind them to, you know, it's cold out, take a sweater. We talk to them like we're 5 years old. We even talk to them like we're their accountant. You know, oh, no, that's too expensive. You can't spend, no. Oh, no, you can't do that for me. No, you can't. You can't buy that for me. That costs too much.
I hear you. But, you know, let's talk about this for a second because, you know, I've interviewed some other people, and I've heard that, you know, this kind of mothering thing, I get it, but there's a fine line. You know, in other schools of thought, they'll say, really, you have to train your man. But you're saying we're doing it in a way that's condescending and we know better versus a more inviting way.
Inviting is an excellent word to use for it. The difference is between, see, I thought what you were going to say was, but don't men need to be nurtured?
And that too, yeah.
Yeah, which is an expression of the mother, like the eternal mother, the earth mother. Men absolutely need to be nurtured. What's different, and inviting is a perfect word for it, Elisa. When we mother men, we're in control and we're telling them what to do. When we're inviting about it, we leave the control in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's just an invitation. It's the difference between, here's some chicken soup, eat it, and you don't feel well. Is there anything I can do for you? Totally different energy, totally different space. And that's the same thing about train. I'm going to train you. You're going to get trained. You don't know what to do, so I've got to train you how to behave.
Yeah.
Completely different than knowing, which took me a while to learn and totally rocked my world to find out. When you know that men are the most generous people on the planet, they really want us to have what we need. They get just immeasurable joy and life and power from making us happy. So they're very compelled to make us happy. And what they need from us is quality information.
Uh-huh.
They don't need to be trained. They're beautiful to begin with. They do need quality information because, A, they're not mind readers, and, B, they don't have a woman's database, which is a feverish collector of preferences. Women don't even have to bat an eyelash to record the preferences of the people around them. That's how our database works. Men
wow.
have a different database. They have a hunter's database. So they don't gotcha. Record preferences. They record results. And methods and terrain. So this is why we think men are not paying enough attention to us, because we don't have to think to pay attention to their preferences.
Gotcha.
So we cop this attitude, Elisa, that, well, if you don't already know what I want, then it's not going to count. Right? I'm not going to tell you what'll make me happy, because if you don't already know, you're obviously not paying enough attention to me, which means you don't care about me. You don't really love me. Which again is expecting them to think and behave like a woman.
Right. So we're over here thinking, well, he should already know that, he should be paying attention, and you're saying that's just not how men are wired. They need this quality information, and it's not as though we need to beat them over the head with it in this training sort of, you know, men are like dogs. I mean, we've all heard that. Women have definitely heard that. And you're making a very powerful distinction in that. Yeah, they could be hipped up in a way that is inviting versus, you don't know what you're doing here, let me train you, which is completely condescending and I'm sure doesn't feel good. And again, we can start to see where we're making these mistakes that actually push men away and starve us from the intimacy that we want.
Yes. Yes, we shoot ourselves in the foot on a regular basis. And I'm glad you brought up the word intimacy, because women, you know, the way I say is women crave intimacy more than chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes chocolate is the substitute.
And
yeah. We assume that men don't want intimacy. And the truth is that we actually push them away. We prevent intimacy and then complain that they don't want it. And men have a huge capacity for intimacy. And really, really care about it, really matters to them. But
here's a question.
We treat them
sorry,
like
go ahead.
Women, you know, we end up with that.
I was just thinking, do you think that women unconsciously do all of these behaviors, probably from training from their parents, right? Nobody's really trained in how to do relationship or how to be in relationship that's really effective, which is why we have you, thank goodness. Do you think that women are unconsciously pushing men away because they're afraid of their own depth of intimacy?
Well, I think that women push men away because we're afraid of men. See, we haven't, this is the way that I look at it. Equality with men is very, very new. In
right.
terms of evolution, whether you believe in creation or evolution, you know, we've been here for tens of thousands of years in a particular kind of paradigm where women were dependent upon men because might is what mattered, muscle was what mattered until very recently. And because we are physically much smaller and really much weaker than men, I mean, it's just arm wrestle for arm wrestle, it's amazing. They don't even realize how much stronger they are than we are. We have been dependent for a very long time, and dependency creates manipulation. Anywhere that someone is dependent upon someone else, you feel like the other person has all the power, the other person has what you need, and so you have no way of making them give it to you. So you have to become good at getting them to give it to you. So it creates manipulation, and women are excellent manipulators. But there's this fear aspect, and one of the ways the fear shows up, Elisa, is women have what I call testosterometers. We're hardwired with testosterometers, and we monitor the levels of testosterone in our environment. And high levels of testosterone are frightening to us. We don't understand masculine power. We don't know what it's directed at. We don't know what it's for. And we don't know how to, for lack of a better word, harness it. We don't know how to facilitate. Let me say it better. We don't know how to facilitate the use of masculine power for the benefit of both of us in a win-win situation. So when a man gets really pumped up, when a man's got high levels of testosterone, we literally freak out.
Yeah.
We go, and we do things to, we call it burst his bubble, take the wind out of his sails, take him down a notch. This is when we lash out. This is when we emasculate because it's too much power. It's too scary to us. And the biggest transformation in my life, which happened 6 months after I started studying men, was when I realized that I'd only experienced my power as a woman when I stopped stealing power from men. Because every time I stole it from them, it reinforced my own sense of weakness. And I committed to not stealing men's power ever again. A huge commitment. Transformed my life forever. I don't think it's any coincidence that I met my husband now of 14 years, like 2 weeks after that, because I was a totally different person. I let men be men. I let men be powerful and started to learn how to deal with them head on, that men really want to give, and there's things that have them want to give more. And when you give them the information so they can be successful at it, which is all they want to win at it. And if you give them the information where they can score a home run with you, they are so stoked. And when you acknowledge that home run, wow, this is amazing. You totally made me happy. You totally gave me what I needed here. They're pumped up all over again, and they're left with, what else can I do? It's just natural to who they are. And
wow.
They're amazing people. We're so lucky men are who they are. We just need to understand them better.
We really are, and I am just fascinated with what you're sharing today. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. We're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. This is Elisa Kreitman, and I'm with Allison Armstrong, and we'll be right back.
Download Hit On with DJ Star D, new music for your personal life. Get free, soft, sensual, ethereal music and dance tracks that will get you up from personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. We're talking with Allison Armstrong about how we can have more fun, success, intimacy, closeness, hip up our guys, and have the relationships we want to have with men. So, Allison, let's see here. You have got some very interesting perspectives that I'm sure women are just waking up to with regard to men. Let's talk about one
One thing I heard you say that I was really surprised to hear. Normally, when we're excited and interested in a man that we're very attracted to, we want to go for it. And you said that, and this is before, you said that that's quite the contrary to what you would recommend for women. Can you talk to us a little bit about why that is?
Well, I think what you're talking about, Elisa, is when we have what we call great chemistry with a man. Mm-hmm. So when we're very sexually attracted to him, when we see a man across the room or we meet a man and we're like, I want that one.
Must have.
Must have that one. How do I get that one? And unfortunately, when we are attracted to a man like that, when we have a very strong sexual attraction, it causes us to be the opposite of what is really attractive to men and what has men want to give to women. Mm-hmm. So before the break, we were talking about, you know, men being really generous and wanting to give to women. Well, there are certain qualities in women that has men want to give even more and has them want to give the most, has them really put them literally in give mode with a woman. And when we're extremely sexually attracted to them, we're the opposite of those qualities. So we're doomed.
Why? What's happening with us where we can't be ourselves because we really, you know, if this we don't get this man, it means something about us?
Well, the number one most attractive quality in a woman is self-confidence. When we're really sexually attracted to a man, that's the first thing that goes out the door, right? We're trying to figure out, I got to have him. I got him. So what does he want? What is he like? He's talking to a woman who looks like that. Okay, well, I could look like that. He's paying attention to the woman who acts like that. Well, I could act like that. Well, and we turn ourselves into a pretzel.
I've never done that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Whatever we think he will want.
Wow.
Can you relate to what I'm talking about?
I think I did that yesterday.
I mean, my interpretation of men like this now is I just stay away from them. I just go, that man upsets me. I'm just going to stay away from him. He upsets me too much.
You know what? It's distracting. I was distracted by this man.
Yes.
Everything that was going around us disappeared. There was nothing but this man, and I was in a seminar, and I would have to keep bringing myself forward so I could see where, exactly, I wasn't being myself. I certainly wasn't focused on my own confidence and what I needed to do to take care of myself in that moment. I was completely lost.
And then The second most attractive quality is authenticity.
Okay.
What are our chances of being authentic when we're twisted into a pretzel? And then the third most attractive quality is passion, which you can only be passionate when you're actually grounded in yourself, which is the opposite of what happens when we're really attracted to them. We're completely thrown off balance.
Isn't that funny? And women walk around. My friends, I do it myself. I'm much more aware of it now. And you would think that over time we would realize, wow, okay, I'm attracted to him. It's very intense, and that's probably not the best thing for me because there goes my self-confidence, my authenticity and passion, and yet we keep doing it. So is that what we have to do is just practice? I mean, what do we do in that moment where we just want to go for it?
Well, we keep doing it because chemistry is the most addictive drug on earth.
Uh-huh.
It is a powerful, powerful drug. And it's designed, literally it's designed, to ensure the survival of the species. It's designed to cause us to mate with the men that we perceive as having the best genes to pass on to our children and being the most able to protect us and to protect our children and to provide for us. So without even thinking about it, you know, Cave Woman Within assesses the ability of each man to provide and protect and pass beauty onto our children, and then the hormones just cascade. There's no choice in it at all. There's no self-expression in it. It's just cavewoman going, that one, we got to get that one. And
yeah.
But it's very, very strong. It's very powerful. It's intoxicating. And it takes women usually many, many, many times of crashing and burning because the relationships do not turn out. We sell our souls and it does not turn out. It usually takes women many, many times of this before they'll even take my advice, you know, when I say date off type. If he's your type, head in the opposite direction. If you're really sexually attracted to him, head in the opposite direction. If you're really, really economically attracted to him, that'll make you a ninny too. Head in the opposite direction. You know, encourage the men that you like. Encourage the men that you feel beautiful around. Encourage the men that you breathe around, that feel like home. These are the guys that love you for who you are. These are the guys that want to take care of you.
Okay, I can hear a little voice in my head saying, but then I would get bored. But then it would just be boring. What is that?
Well, we can talk about sex, right? Right?
Sure. Let's talk about sex.
This is your show. Sex is in the title.
Absolutely.
Just think about this, okay? Assuming all those listening have had sex. Chemistry covers up a lot of bad technique. The sex may be hot. That doesn't mean it's good. That doesn't mean it's satisfying.
Oh,
and when we're
so
really sexually attracted to a man, we're so afraid that he won't like us that we won't even tell him the littlest thing, like a half inch to the left would work a lot better.
That is so true.
We won't give any quality information in bed when we're crazy about the guy. We just suffer through that he's not hitting it.
And it is suffering, literally.
Yeah, we just suffer through it, and then sex is over, and what do we want? We want more sex. Because it wasn't satisfying, and because instinct is saying, you know, get as much of those, many of those little swimmers as you can involved here so we can make a baby for the future of humanity. And it's only when you are not crazy about a guy like that that you can actually speak up and actually have a chance to have sex be making love, sex be an expression of affection between people instead of just hormones going off.
Wow. This is really just amazing, enlightening information. I can just see women taking a big breath. I mean, I know I am. And I'm just thinking, I can't help but think about past, even recent past relationships where all of that was going on, you know? And then we make ourselves wrong because we're not asking for what we want, which is another thing, you know, we can talk about. But really, if we're in a relationship where there's this intense chemistry, we're not going to ask for what we want because we don't want to lose this, almost this prize, this man that we have all this chemistry with. And you're saying it's really a natural biological response that we need to sort of wake up out of the fog
and
get
love,
to
the truth. I love, Elisa, that you used the word prize because we've become very masculine. The workplace does that to us. It's not our fault. We are the master adapters of the universe, and the workplace values masculine behavior and masculine ways of being, and so we've become them. And one of the ways that this has transferred over into our approach to dating and relationships is we're like a man, and we want to win the prize. And it's perfect to use that word, and we're afraid we'll lose the prize. And one of my recommendations to women, and it was shocking when I tried it myself. I just could not believe the difference, is try being the prize. It is a completely different way to live one's life, being the prize. And I don't mean you have to be stuck up about being the prize. You can feel honored that such a great man holds you in such regard, that you're his prize. It can be mutually empowering. But being the prize puts us in a feminine receptive mode that is much more powerful for women than trying to be in a masculine mode. And it's much less exhausting. Man mode burns through our adrenaline.
Okay, so mutually empowering, actually feeling pride in being the prize.
Yeah, be the prize. Be the one that was won. Be the one, you know, women are always asking me about, well, you tell me to tell men what I need and tell men what'll make me happy, but doesn't that just lose the mystery? Doesn't that mean that won't be a challenge to a man? And isn't he looking for a challenge? And yes, men love challenges, but they want challenges that they can win at. So if the challenge is to give you what you need and to make you happy and you give them the information that allows them to do that, that's a challenge that he goes in with a lot of enthusiasm. Women mistakenly think that men like women who play hard to get because they compare the woman who's hard to get, what seems hard to get, with themselves who were throwing ourselves at this guy, right? And he keeps going for the one who's not throwing herself at him. Well, the difference is she's not intensely sexually attracted to him. So she's being herself, she's self-confident, and she's authentic, and that is incredibly attractive.
Gotcha. You know, you mentioned something about being in the receptive mode. And I was just thinking about this. I think women have a bit of a challenge receiving. What do you think about that?
We have huge challenges receiving.
Yeah.
Huge. And we address these in every single one of our courses because it affects our relationships with men in general. It affects sex because from a man's point of view, a great lover is a woman who can receive a lot of pleasure.
I've heard that.
And be a great partner. It affects us getting married because a lifetime commitment is the biggest gift a woman can receive from a man. And we never give them a chance to give it. We're too busy demanding it. And anytime you demand from a person, giving is no longer a possibility. There's just submitting or resisting. And so, you know, we have issues with worrying about what we deserve and have we earned it and never wanting to be beholden or obligated to something, you know, obligated to a man for something. And then we think anytime a man offers something that what he's saying is he thinks we can't provide it for ourselves, so we're insulted by it, and then we have to prove to him we don't need it. Our knickers are in a twist, as they say in England, about receiving. We're lame at it. We are totally lame at it, and it is one of the two biggest things that prevents us from having amazing relationships with men.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonder we can even have relationships with men. It seems there's like so many barriers between us and them and these notions. And you're really helping us dispel these notions and bring down the walls between us creating this intimacy with men. You know, we're going to take another short break to support our sponsors. So this is Alisa Kreitman. I'm with Allison Armstrong, having such a good time trying to get my head to contain all of this information. We will be right back.
PersonalLifeMedia.com. Free internet audio programs on life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Listen from your browser, iTunes, your iPod, or MP3 player today at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Okay, so that concludes part one of our two-part series with Allison Armstrong. Listeners, please feel free to write in any questions you may have about today's topic or other topics you would like me to cover on the show. And you can do that by sending an email to Alisa at PersonalLifeMedia.com. So that's Alisa, A-L-I-S-S-A, at PersonalLifeMedia, all one word, .com. And where you can find Allison Armstrong, her seminars, her book, her CDs and all of this incredible information, just go to understandmen.com. So, Allison, thank you so much for being with us today. Wow, I've learned a lot. I know our listeners have learned a lot as well. One last thing I'd like to do before we go is something called the speed round.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Is this like speed dating?
I don't know. I've never done speed dating, but maybe I will to get some fresh perspective on what's going on out there in the dating world that I'm newly in. Okay, ready? So here we go. One thing that really turns a man off is
whining and complaining.
If he doesn't call,
call him.
One thing men really want women to know is
they're not mind readers.
One way to kill a relationship is
never let him make you happy.
Blank is essential for a successful relationship.
Honesty.
Beautiful. Allison Armstrong, thank you so much. Such a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you.
It was great to be on the show. Thanks for having me, Elisa.
All right. And I am Elisa Kreitman signing off. Very much looking forward to our next time with Allison Armstrong. See you next time.
Find more great shows like this on PersonalLifeMedia.com.